Hey there, and welcome to the Limitless Church Podcast. We're so excited that you decided to join in with us today. Now, we're always inspired to hear how God is using Limitless Church to change lives. If you have a story to share of how God has used this ministry in your life, would you take a moment and send us an email at mystory@limitlesschurch.online. Now, you can also support this ministry financially. By doing so, you help us bring messages just like this one to you each and every single week. You can do that online at limitlesschurch.online/give. Now prepare your hearts to hear a word from God.
I want you to high five three people around you. Say something, man. Say something. If you know he did it for you, somebody know he did. Let the redeemed say so. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. While you're standing, if you have your Bibles, I know it's Easter. I don't want to mess up your Easter roast. So let's go straight to the Word of God today. How many came ready to hear from God today? Amen. Amen. I'm excited today about what God's going to share with us. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And then we'll be going to Philippians chapter 2. Acts chapter 1. And we'll be going in verse 1. I want you to, if you haven't had a chance, I know they said it at the beginning, but if you weren't here at the very beginning, please fill out, if it's your first time here, we're just so thankful that you're here with us. Amen. And we believe that if you don't have a church home, this just became your church home today. Amen. And you will never find a people that are more ready to love you, more committed to your destiny, more committed to seeing you and your family and your life change for the glory of God. Amen. Can I get a limitless amen? Amen. And so we're excited today. We have some great news you won't want to miss, so you want to stay through the sermon. Amen. We have some exciting. We've let Limitless know there's some surprises waiting at the end of service. It's, you know, you can't have Easter without an Easter basket. So the bishop brought his Easter basket for you to open at the end of service today. Amen. And so we're excited about some things that God's doing. God's doing incredible things. If you were at Limitless Rising, somebody say, "Woo woo." God just from that time on has just wrecked me, wrecked us, done some incredible things in our lives, and God's not finished yet. He's just getting started, amen? So we want to get your information today. If you have one of these, a Connect card, you can put it in the box on the two black offering boxes on the way out. You can just fill that out and put it there. We want to stay connected to you. Partnership is major. Connection is major. Covenant is everything in God. And you can't have covenant without two. That's why he said, where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst of you. Because there's something when we connect with something beyond ourselves and partner together with it, that God said, one of you can put 1,000 to flight, but two of you, when you join together, can put 10,000 to flight. Amen? And so there's some backup that needs to happen in your life spiritually. Can I get an amen? And so we want to be backup. We want to be the support. We want to be there to be family for you. And so if you can fill out that information, put it in the box. We want to stay connected, see how you can become a greater part of even Limitless on an everyday basis. Amen. Somebody say, welcome home. Amen. So we're excited about you being here today. I am excited about this word. We've been in the middle of a series called Somebody Say Yes. Somebody say yes. Yes. And so... I want to delve into it today. Right in the middle of, we were doing this series already, and they said, do you want to do something special outside of the series for Easter? And I said, no, this is a yes, amen? And so I want to put, I know exactly what I feel like God wants to share today on Easter Sunday. It may be a not your normal Easter Sunday sermon, but if anybody knows me, nothing that we're going to share is normal, amen? And so we're excited. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It reads this way, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been chosen. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering. The one translation says it this way, after his passion. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have a passion? By many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I, I, I want to pay close attention to verse 3. It says, to whom he also presented himself alive after. That word right there is where I want to deal with today. The word after. Touch somebody next to you and say, there's something after this. Now turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Anybody getting excited yet? I feel expectation rising in here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It reads, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Somebody say obedient. To the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, somebody say therefore. God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Look at him say, even the devil. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can I get an amen? Amen. I want to deal with just this subject today in the middle of this service, in the middle of this sermon, and in the middle of this series. I want to deal with a message today that I feel is for somebody. He would still say yes. He would still say yes. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for being here. I thank you, God, that somebody in this room today is going to be the day. Like David said, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is going to be the greatest day in somebody's life in this room. Today is going to be the day where their eternity just got shifted and changed. Today is going to be the day that shackles come off, broken, and their life is totally revolutionized and healed. Somebody in this room is going to receive hope today. God, let your word go forth and let it do what only it can do. Let it heal what no one else can see. Let it speak to what no one else can know. Let it change what no one even knew was hurting. I thank you today, and we give you the glory and the praise for all you're going to accomplish. No name gets any glory but that name. There's only one star in this room, and he's the morning star. He's the day star. He's our bright and shining star. It is the name above all, the name of Jesus. Amen. As you're seated, turn to your neighbor next to you and say, he still says yes. Amen. Something that I believe is imperative for you to understand in God is to understand that God is a God of destiny. God is a God who is a God of purpose and assignment and destiny. That everything he does in your life is never by accident on accident. God has never had an accident. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. That means he knows from the end through the beginning, and from the beginning to the end, he already knows everything. He already has all knowing of everything in his mind. There was somebody the other day said to me, well, if God is all knowing, then what am I even doing? Because he already knows what I'm going to do. And I said, yeah, but that's not how it works. See, God has predestined you, but it's still your choice to walk in the destiny he predetermined. It's still, he gives it to you. That's why, because without free will, there is no ability to have relationship. Why? It's because there's two elements you have to have for a relationship. Number one, you have to have the ability to choose to be in the relationship. Can I get an amen? And don't look at your wife at this time, okay? That's not the time. Hallelujah. Number one, you have to have the desire. Number one. Number two, so number one, you have to have free will. Number two, you have to have the desire. You have to have the appetite. That means appetite and free will are the elementary necessity components to relationship. Because not only do I have to have the ability to choose to be with you, I have to have the desire to be with you. That means I have to want to. Amen? Because if I don't want to, and I don't have the ability to choose to, we don't have a relationship. You have a relationship with yourself vicariously through me because I didn't have an option. Amen? And so he had to give us the ability to choose, but just because he gives us the ability to choose, it's not that he didn't already have a will, a plan, and a destiny in mind before he even created you. He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in the belly, I knew you. I ordained you and I sanctified you to be the prophet. That means before you were the person, Jeremiah, you were the purpose of the prophet. That means before he formed you in the belly of your mother, he already had your purpose in mind before he formed the person you are. That means while your mama was trying to come up with what name she was going to call you, he already knew what he called you. He said, before you were formed, I knew you as and ordained you as the prophet. That means mama called you Jeremiah, but I called you the prophet. Because when she looks at you, she sees the person. But when I look at you, I see the purpose. He said, when I look at you, I see what I saw you were to be while you were in me in heaven before I sent you in the womb. That means before your mama knew you, I knew you. I had a purpose, and that's who you are. And then I formed you in the belly at the right time. That's why he says, for everything, there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. That means you are the purpose in heaven, but he needed that purpose in heaven at the right season and right time under heaven in the earth. And that's why you're here today. You're not here because you're just a byproduct of a heated night of passion between your mama and your daddy, whereby you are the 9-month pride product. I don't care if you never knew your mama. I don't care if your daddy walked out of you when you were 2 years old. I care, but I don't care that your daddy walked out when you were 2 years old. I don't care if you never knew your father. I don't care if your mama was a street hooker and you never knew which one was your daddy. You are not an accident. You are not an incident. You are not just a byproduct. You are here on assignment, by assignment, on purpose for the destiny of God in your life. Woo! Touch somebody, say, hi, I'm a child of destiny. Oh, yeah, I'm a high child of destiny. Never confuse what you came through with where you came from. You ain't from your mama. You ain't from your daddy. You ain't from Hampton Roads. You ain't from whatever city or place you think you came from. That's why the enemy can never use that against you to limit where you're going, because he can't use your mama, your daddy, or anything it looked like you came from, because that ain't where you came from. That's just what you came through, because you didn't come from mama. You came from glory. You came from God. The Bible says of John, there was a man sent from God. High five somebody, say, hi, I'm from God. Yeah, I can't. I'm from God. I can't help who my daddy was. I can't help who my mama was. I can't help who my kinfolk were. I can't help. Thank God for my mama and daddy in here. I can't help who they were. It don't matter if you had the most wrecked, messed up life and the enemy told you because of where you came from, it limits where you are going. Can I tell you, the only limit you have is what you determine how much of God you will receive in your life, because God said, you came from glory. I'll bring you back into my glory because I sent you here for a purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, hi, I'm here on assignment. Yeah. The question is, what is your purpose? The question is, why are you here? Not why are you here, thank God you're here, but why are you here? Because he gave you you are a purpose. Not just gave you a purpose. You are the purpose embodied in the earth. And the moment you stepped out of the womb and he slapped you on your bottom, and you let out your first cry, the clock started. And for everything, there is a time and a season. That means time and seasons are measurements of purpose. It means for all the time you've been given, have you used it to fulfill the purpose you're here for? Because if you knew the magnitude of the purpose that's in you, you would not waste a moment. Because you'd understand, I don't have time to play games. Because I got something to fulfill. I got something I'm here for. Let somebody else just fool around and try to figure it all out and try to enjoy every little bit of, think that life is all about them. But I realize my life is bigger than me. I realize there's something I'm here for, and I can't waste any time worrying about who said what and who likes me and who's in and who's out and what's the latest rumor and what's the latest gossip. Let all the other church folks mess with that. I got somewhere to go. I got something to do. I can't worry about who likes me, who doesn't like me, who's with me, because all I know is if he be for me, then who can be against me? Because I love them, but I'm not here for them, because I'm here on assignment. I'm here for the one who sent me. Whew. And God wants somebody to know in this room, sent by God. You are the expression of his purpose. And he, it's not a question of does he have one for you. The question is, will you say yes to it? The question is, it's not that I don't have more. The question is, will you receive it? See, he said this in John 3:16. We all know it, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It goes on to say that he did not come to destroy or judge the world. He came to save it. It's because he didn't intend for anybody to perish. Because he intended for them to fulfill the intended assignment he sent them with. That means every person in this room, every person you know, is carrying a God assignment inside of them. And the question is not, have they been given it? The question is, will they receive it? Amazon sends a lot of packages to my house. The question is not, do they send it? The question is sometimes, depending on the nature of what they're sending, is, did someone sign for it? Because it's not mine just because they gave it and sent it. It's only mine, even though it's got my name on the package, if I receive it. The question is not, has he given it to you? Does he have it for you? Is there more than what you're in? Does he have a greater life, a greater blessing? Does he have fulfillment of everything he created you for? It's not a question, does he have it? And it's not a question, has he given? The question is, will you receive it? Will you say yes? And I want to talk a little bit this morning about the fact that the only reason you have the ability to say yes is because he did. If he doesn't say yes, you don't even have the opportunity to say yes. Why? It's because while we were yet in sin, he said yes to giving us the ability to come back to him. From the beginning, watch this. From the beginning, we always deal with Easter. And we deal with it from the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection. But I want to go a little further and deeper. I want to show you that the cross doesn't begin in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I want to show you that the cross begins before Genesis. I want to show you that there's two people, two forces that have a plan for your life. The question is, which one you say yes to. I want to show you that the enemy knew you were coming before your mama ever did. I want to show you that you are so much the purpose and predestined by God that the enemy went to work early on you before you even got a chance to get here, simply because he was scared and afraid of what you would be if you realized who you were. I want to show you that the reason why your great-great-granddaddy was an alcoholic and abusive was because your he knew if I put alcoholism in your great-granddaddy and he's abusive, then your great-granddaddy will grow up in an abusive situation. If your great-granddaddy grows up in an abusive situation, then your granddaddy is going to likely grow up in an abusive situation. If your granddaddy is abusive and your granddaddy has creates an abusive relationship and an abusive environment, then your daddy will most likely grow up in an abusive environment. And if your daddy grows up in an abusive environment, it will create an environment for you that is not conducive to you understanding who you really are. I want you to grow up in a situation that before you even get here is set up for you never to realize the purpose and destiny on your life. I want you to think of yourself as less and never more. I want you to think yourself of not able and never more than able. I want you to grow up in an atmosphere where you're so dealing with life and what it has dealt you and what you've been handed, what's been passed down to you and what's been given to you, that you will never ever see more that God has for you. Because the enemy understood, if I go to work that early on them, then they won't ever realize who they are. Because if they ever mess up on an Easter Sunday morning and come into a hotel conference room packed out with a bunch of jokers, and they hear this short, bald-headed, half-Indian, whatever he is, and ever to realize who they really are, hell is in trouble, because greater is he that is in you. I feel like running now. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you say, realize your purpose, your destiny, your identity in God, there's no chain he can put on you that will not break off of you. There's no abuse that anything you walk through in your life can stop you any longer when you realize that nothing is impossible with Christ. If I believe him. Look at him and say, you're unstoppable. And the only reason you have the ability to know that is because he already paid the price for you to. And before there was the enemy, while the enemy was coming up with the plot to destroy the plan, to destroy your purpose, God already had the plan before the enemy had the plot. We always deal with the crucifixion and Jesus' life, death, and all, and the resurrection on Easter. But I want you to know that the lamb didn't get slain 2,000 years ago. The lamb, the Bible says, was slain before the foundations of the world. Why was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world? Because you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And when he saw the destiny in him, the enemy started the plot. But God already had the plan, because he said, I know when I get ready to loose this purpose in the earth before the foundations of the world, the enemy's going to try to do anything he can from the time exists to mess with them and destroy it. But before he could come up with the plot, I already have the plan. While the enemy was trying to come up with how he could attack you, how the enemy could take you out, how he could disadvantage you, how he could hurt you to the place where you couldn't see beyond the hurt, God already had the healing before the enemy had the hurt. God already had the pain before God already had the power before the enemy came up with the pain. God already had your freedom before the enemy could even form the chains that were holding you. He said, I have the plan before the enemy has the plot, and there's nothing that the enemy can plot that I already don't have the plan to bring you out. While the enemy was coming up with whatever you're dealing with right now, God already had the plan to bring you out of it. Whew. He said, I already made a way of escape. And God, in the garden, that's why moment Adam fell in the garden, here's Adam, and he's fallen. And God says, the only thing you can't eat of, you can have everything, I give everything to you, but you can't have of the tree in the middle of the garden. We're not going to get into that today. Because anybody knows me, we'll be here a while. But the moment they take of the fruit and eat it, he said, the day you eat, the day you die. And yet you look and say, well, they didn't just die. It's not natural. It's spiritual. Because nothing dies naturally then spiritually. Everything dies spiritually then naturally. That means everything that you see in your life is the product of what's not seen. That means everything that happens manifest outwardly is just what happened already inwardly. And so he starts and he says, the day you eat is the day you die. And he took of the tree and suddenly there they are fallen. And I can see Adam. And Adam takes the fruit. And the moment he takes the fruit, he sees his own wickedness. He sees his own condition. And everything around him is telling him, look, you've destroyed everything, God's plan, God's purpose. You're never going to be everything he said. You're never going to be the father of humanity again. You're never going to carry the blessing that God wants you to over the earth. You're never going to subdue, have dominion. None of that. You've lost it all. And he hides himself and runs. And he hides himself behind the bush. But I love it because the moment he hides behind the bush, he ought to realize by now that God is everywhere. At all times. That means the moment he got behind the bush hiding from God, God was behind the bush when he got there. And so you hear the voice of the Lord, and we don't have time today, but the Bible says the voice of the Lord walked through the cool of the garden. How does a voice walk? A voice can't walk. A voice is an inanimate, a voice is an intangible, inanimate substance. It's a voice. It's just a vehicle. It's not a thing. How can a voice that's invisible, intangible, walk? But the Bible says the voice of the Lord walked through the cool of the day. How does a voice get legs and walk? John tells us how. Because he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and the Word became flesh. The voice walking in the garden to come find Adam was a type and shadow of manifestation of Jesus Christ himself, the Word that would literally take on legs and come down on a manhunt searching for what was lost and saying, I came to seek and to save that has been lost. It's not that I don't know where you are, Adam. I'm behind the bush with you. I'm just coming to ask you the question. I know where you are, but do you know where you are? Because the question is not, are you where I can't find you? The question is, do you know where you are enough to know that you can't get out of where you are unless I find you? And if, oh, hallelujah. And if you will say, here I am, that's all I need. I know where you are. I just want you to confess where you are to me. And if you say, I'm here, there's no place you are that I can't bring you back from. I'll bring you back from every hiding. I'll bring you back from every hurt. I'll bring you back from every sin, every mistake, every mess up. I know the way back. Ooh. Look at your neighbor, say, he's coming for you today. He's coming to seek and to save. Watch this. He comes and gets him. Watch this. And the Bible says, and I'm hurrying. And the Bible says, yeah, they got a big timer on me now. He says, I'm coming to seek and to save. And he gets him and he says, Adam, know something. You can't find yourself. You can't fix this. You can't get yourself out of this one. You can't just good thought your way out of this. You can't just like good deed your way back from this. He said, because your righteousness is as filthy, dirty rags now. That means at your best, it's still not worthy enough to come to me. But the Bible says, and God went and slayed an animal in the name of Adam so that Adam could live in the name of the animal. Watch this. Genesis doesn't even let us know what kind of animal it is. Genesis just says he slayed an animal. It doesn't say what. It says God slayed an animal and then took the coats of skin from off the animal and wrapped the bloody coats of skin around Adam. Because he said, Adam, I can see the animal crying out saying, why? Why do I gotta die? I mean, this joke is the one that messed up. I mean, why you gotta come for me? I mean, why do I have to die? It's because you're innocent. He's guilty. It's because you're righteous. But he's fallen. It's because you're sinless, but he's sinful. But I can kill you in your innocence and then wrap your innocence around his guiltiness. Until now, if I cover his guiltiness with your innocence, when he comes to me, I no longer see his guiltiness. All I see is your innocence. I don't see his unworthiness. All I see is your righteousness. See, that's why the only hope you have, Adam, is that you can't come to me in your own name anymore. You got to come in the name of the sacrifice that gave itself for you. It's no longer you who lives, but the sacrifice that lives in you. And the life you now live is by him who loved you and gave himself for you. That means the only hope you have, Adam, is that you're wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in the bloody coat you wear of the sacrifice that loved you enough to die for you. Oh God. Genesis doesn't let us know what animal it is. You don't even know what animal. Later on in Exodus and Leviticus, we find out that it's a lamb. We find out that it's not only a lamb, but we find out that it's a spotless lamb. It can't have a blemish on it. Later on, we find out that it's a old lamb. For Isaiah says, for he goeth before as a lamb to the shear. That means now it's not only a male ram lamb, spotless lamb, but the lamb that's a male is not really a lamb, it's a man. Where is this man that is a lamb that is spotless? And the prophets foretold it, and the priest atoned for it, but no one could find this man lamb that was spotless until one day John is baptized in the water, and he points his finger through the crowd and he says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Until all the way to the book of Revelation, we will be standing around the throne and we will be crying out, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world. He said, I am the Lamb. I feel it in this room. Lift your hands right now. I'm telling you, I feel the presence of God so strong in this place. It's so strong in this place. Why? It's because he said all the way before Genesis even begins, I say yes. We dealt with last week with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. With him saying, God, is there any other way I can do this? Is there any other way we can save them without me having to go through this? But he didn't just say yes in the garden. He said yes before the first garden. And in our text today, he says, after, he said, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began. See, we always hear the last words of Jesus on the cross as it is finished. But when he said it's finished, he was talking about his assignment, not yours. He said, because I came to finish what was holding you from you so that you could begin. I didn't come to stop it. I came to get the party started. Of all that Jesus both began, oh God. And somebody in this room, God wants you to know He finished everything that was necessary so that you could have a new beginning today. He wants you to know you can begin. If you've never began, you can begin now knowing who and what you are and walking in it. Maybe you had a beginning, but it feels like you've messed up too much and you can't ever fulfill it again. Can I tell you, if He died for you while you were yet a sinner, do you think He wouldn't still die for you after you got saved? He's not done dying for you. He's not done giving to you. He said, I still say yes. I'd still say, yes, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We always say Jesus did it all. No, He didn't. All to Him you do owe. But He didn't do it all. He came to fulfill His assignment. He's not doing yours. That's why He didn't end with all He began to do. All He began to do and teach. It's because it's one thing to do it. It's another thing to teach you what you got to do. Because the moment He finished His job, He said, now it's time for you. That's why the book of Acts is called the book of Acts. It's because His final act is our first act. Because now it's time for us to do something. And He says, all that Jesus began both to do after He showed Himself alive, watch this, after His passion. After His passion, teaching them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He said, after His passion, I want to zero in on just 2 minutes. We deal with what He did on that hill and what He did in that tomb. But He did all that not for what He did, but for what you would do after. Because I'm not doing this if there's no after party. The Bible says He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. That means He said, I'll take this if they can have that. I'll take the pain of this. The joy that was set before Him was seeing you step into all and who you are. And He said, whatever's holding them back, I'll pay the price. Go ahead and lay their sin on me. I'll become sin who knew no sin. I'll be rejected. I'll take all their pain. If they can walk in healing, if they can walk in freedom, if they can become everything God said they can be, I'll be everything they weren't. I'll be everything they failed in. I'll be the epitome of every failure they can ever fail so that they can live their life without feeling like a failure. And know they are victorious. Stand with me all over this room. Look at your neighbor and say, He still says yes. He still says yes. Thinking it not robbery to be equal to God. That means while He was in glory, He is God. He is God. And yet being God, He said, yes, I'll become them. So they can get freed from themselves to walk in who they are in me. And He became, but in order for them to have the ability to say yes to being who I made them, I have to be obedient and say yes to all that is being required of me. He looked at you while you were a mess. and still said yes. Wow. He looked at you when you were at your worst and called you worthy of his best. How can you have a low self-esteem when you've been hand-chosen? The Bible says he showed himself to his apostles whom he had chosen. I want somebody in this room to know that he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. That means he chose you. That's why we've been made sons by the adoption of sons. Adoption is powerful. We don't celebrate it in the U.S. like we should. We celebrate abortion, but that's another thing. We won't go there today. We don't celebrate much adoption, but adoption's powerful. You want to know why adoption's powerful? Because nobody ever accidentally adopted anybody. If your mama ever told you, you an accident, you weren't adopted. Because in adoption, you get to go through the lineup. In adoption, they line them up in front of you. They tell them where you came from, what you did, and you get to go through the lineup and said, I'll take that one. Oh, my goodness. And God said, I chose you in me before the foundation. That means I said, I'll pay the adoption fee no matter how much a mess they look like, no matter how shambled they are, because I see in them what's not on them. I see something greater than everything they've been in. And I'll pay the price because I choose you. And God said to tell somebody in this room, he'd still say yes. In spite of how many mess ups, in spite of the times when you walked totally away from him, in spite of the times you blamed him for the worst things in your life, and you said, God, if you're God, then why this? You've been carrying this grudge with him for years, like he's to blame for how you've been hurt and the loss. And God, why'd you take the baby? You'd be surprised how many people come to me through the years. Probably it's in the hundreds, maybe thousands of people who've asked me, said, if God's really God, then why do babies die? Like God's killing babies. If he's God, then why? Because you're dealing with a real enemy. We're dealing with real forces that are, you're not just dealing with good, you're dealing with bad. That's why bad things happen to good people. It's because there's a bad and worse devil that's trying to destroy you while God's trying to redeem. Is anybody with me right now? And yet there's people that for years, they go through things, lose things, go through pain, go through hurt, and for years they look at God angry. God, why would you let me? Until we hold grudges, until we're pointing our finger and angry at the very only hope we have, and the only one that loves us in spite of anybody else hurting us. And he said, with all your anger to me, with all the blame you've put on me, I still say yes. I still say yes. I want you to grab the hand of somebody next to you. I'm done. Look at that. Y'all, it's Easter and miracles happening. I got 32 seconds left on my clock. Somebody shout now. Somebody say yes.
lift those hands you're holding right now. I know it's uncomfortable, but I'm okay with you not being comfortable for a minute. If it means somebody else be healed, if it means somebody else feeling God's hand in theirs, if it means somebody knowing there's somebody else still reaching out to them, sure as that hand's holding you, the hand of God has still got you. He still says yes. He says, I'll still be there. I'll still walk you through this. I'll still bring you out of this. I know the way. You're not too far gone. You're not so hurt that you can't be healed. You're not so broken that I can't put you back together again. Your life is not so much a mess that I still can't bless you. I'm the God who takes the guttermost and turns it into my uttermost. I say yes. You're in this room right now. I want you just to grab that hand and I want you to begin to pray for that person. You may not have prayed in your life. You're going to start today. That hand you're holding right now, I want you to pray, God, let them know who they are. Let them hear your yes today. Let them hear that you say yes to your will, to your way, to your purposes, to your plans. Let them know that when you think about them, you think good and not evil. Let them know that when you see them, all you do is think the best, even when they've been at their worst. And today, God, let them receive your mercy. Let them receive your love. Let them receive what your yes paid for in their life. That there's nothing you hold back. There's nothing you hold back. So strong in this room. That's it. Just pray. Just pray. I know. I feel it in this room. I feel it in this room. There's people getting freed right now. Matter of fact, if you feel led to, you can go ahead and put an arm around them. Just put an arm around them. Just right where they are. Make them real uncomfortable. Put an arm around them. Because I want them to know God's holding them. I want them to know that God never let go. I want them to know that they can walk away from God, but God has never walked away from them. I want them to still know that God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When I give you a yes, I will never turn it into a no. My promise is still yes and amen. My promise is still sure. My plan is still there. My purpose for your life is still available. The blessings that I have for you, I will not deny you. I still love you enough. And I still say yes. I still say yes. I feel addictions breaking in this room. I feel yokes being destroyed right now. I feel people that for years in your life you felt bound by something that you didn't know how you could be broken free from, and the enemy's tried to tell you you're going to always have this bondage in your life no matter what you do, but the devil is a liar. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. That means not partially, not kind of. God can totally free you from everything that for years has held you right now in a moment. In a moment. I feel freedom in this place. You're here. You say, you've been talking to me today, Scotty. And I'm ready for old things to pass away. I'm ready for the old me with all the old junk to be gone. And I'm ready for all things to be made new. I'm ready for his finish to be my beginning. I'm ready to take who I am back. I'm ready to fulfill my purpose. I'm ready to become everything he says I can be in spite of what I've been. You say that's me, I want you to shoot your hand up. high as you can. Just right now, just shoot it up. Yes, 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 all over this room. Yes, 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 thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. I say yes to His yes. To everything He gave me and said, yes, I can have. I say yes to receiving. If that's you, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. Don't worry, I ain't going to have you come down. He's going to meet you where you are. We ain't into embarrassing people. We into freeing people. You're hearing, you say, it's me. I want a new beginning. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you've never given Him your all. Or maybe you've had. It's just things came and have kept and tried to distance you between who He called you and where you are. And you say, I want a new beginning. Just lift that hand. Lift that hand. Lift that hand. Lift that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone across this room, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, we thank you that you said yes. That you were obedient even unto death. And while you were hanging on the cross, you were still saying yes. Thank you for not giving up on me. Today, I give my life to you. And I declare that because you didn't give up on me, I will not quit on you. Though none go with me, I will follow. From this day forward, I give you my tomorrow. My next week, my eternity, from this moment, everything that was is a memory. And everything through your blood, through your sacrifice, is made new. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but this morning I see and I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. If you believe it, shout yes. Somebody shout yes. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place. Hallelujah. We have, if you've lifted your hand today, in the back today, we have a gift for you. There's nothing more significant outside of salvation than the Word of God. We want you to receive, we just want to give you a gift of a Bible. Maybe you have one, that's okay. We want it to be a symbol that we're committed to sowing what God said in your life. And so we have a gift for you today. But we're thankful today for you being here. We pray you have the greatest resurrection day in your life. We pray that there's healing that's happened in this room. We pray that God has brought true and real change in your life. And it's only just beginning. Look at your neighbor and say, it's just getting started. And so, today, before we take tithes and offerings, I want to share a little bit about our new beginning at Limitless. This beginning's been amazing. Anybody that's been here for any of the time, from the time we've been in existence since October, God's just blown our mind. Look at this. We're 6 months old. Look at this room. Is that amazing? Can we give God the praise? And so, Jonathan, I want you to come stay with me. Kelly, come stay with me. So, we just believe in God. How many know if you look around this room, we're going to need to make some room? Amen. Look at them, say, we got to make some room for God. And so we're, if anybody knows anything about us from the beginning, we've not been afraid of God's steps, because we thought we had a year to start and God turned it into 2 weeks. And we still said yes. Yeah, we still said yes. And then from that moment, God just said, if you'll just stay out of my way, I'll do this. And so we've just been trying to stay out of God's way. And He's blown our mind. And I want to thank every person that's been part of Limitless. Maybe you're coming now and we thank God for you, but I want to thank you for those that came to the first service. Been here since when we were struggling, I don't even know if we had anything, but maybe a podium mic. I don't even know. We're just trying to get it together. But God just moved. And so we've been making God steps. If anybody was at Limitless Rising, they know that was a big God step. But because he showed himself faithful there, we're ready to trust him even greater. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I'm able to do abundantly and exceedingly. It's our verse. Above all you can ask or think. That means the moment you see abundantly, get ready. I'm going to exceed the abundance you saw before. The moment I take you here, you got to get ready to trust me on another level. And so we're about to trust him on another level. I don't know if they got the video ready. But we are about to, this will be the last service that we have in this place. Hey! We're thankful for this place, but we're ready for great places. Look at your neighbor and say, and the next one won't hold us either. The next one won't hold us either. But I want them to show a little video of where we're going, and then I'm going to share a little bit more because God's about to blow our mind. Just talk about it. All right. Just go ahead and scroll up, if you will, guys. If you will, just reach your hands toward this place right here. Reach your hands. Help us pray for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. He's faithful, y'all. I said he's faithful, y'all. He still says yes, y'all. He still says yes. Hallelujah. Somebody say, we won't hear no children no more. Somebody say, baby's got a room. Somebody say, toddler's got a room. Somebody say, new guest got a room. Say, everybody gets a room. I feel like Oprah today. Everybody gets one. Everybody gets one. Hallelujah. Can you give God a praise in this place? We won't have to worry about a noisy lobby. We won't have to worry about whether we're too loud and this guy's screaming too much. The whole building is ours. $4.5 million of a building. State of the art, beautiful. It's ours every Sunday. Somebody say limitless.